it's your host Cam, and then John, like usual, is being the wingman.
As usual, as I am.
As usual. We are talking about Helmer, over 22 different music videos, figuring out what resonates with this person's work, why they do a lot of crowd-pleasing, in this case, comedies and action movies. And in more recent years, this filmmaker has basically, after all the 22-plus music videos, he's now doing Pepsi commercials and kind of being the franchise sequel guy.
Yes. Yeah. So,
John, what was your intro to F. Gary Gray?
Well, it's funny. It was actually his something Italian was what got me to notice him at first.
Okay, very interesting. He was just always on my radar because he had just... He was like one of those, again, just B-movie guys. Just all his name is popping up on just many different hits, you know. So you start out with Friday, you know, which launches Ice Cube and Chris Tucker's careers in, as actors after being rappers and comedians, respectively. Then you got Set It Off, which shows that Queen Latifah is more than just a sitcom actress and a rapper. And launches, again, Vivica Fox and Kimberly Lee's and Jada Pinkett's careers. And then you followed up with his dog Sidney Lumet, you know, Dog Day Afternoon inspired movie The Negotiator, which, you know, you're a huge fan of, and yep, everyone is. But it's, and you know, but yeah, at that time, you know, A Man Apart had been like in the can for a few years, then came out to do an extra launch to Vin Diesel's career, and then yeah, back to back with Italian Job. It's like he was just that guy. He's just back and forth doing music videos, then do a big over the top blockbuster movie. And he just was always on my radar, and I never knew if he was just quality or actually pretty solid. It just seems like he just, it just varied on the material.
Yeah, it definitely depended on the material.
Sometimes. The material itself, I definitely had to keep coming back to and reanalyze, especially some of these. And some of them is like, they were fun for what they were, but they weren't perfect, obviously.
Some I'm just not big fans of.
Yeah. Well, what about peers that you knew who were big into movies? I almost always would know at least one gal in science class who had seen Set It Off. And I think a lot, just about everyone was quoting Friday, but yeah, junior high, everyone was talking about A Man Apart. They're like, hey, Vince, he's awesome. He was their Steven Seagal, Van Damme type action hero, and I never really got into his work as much, but that movie's interesting just on reanalyzation because it's a big departure from Vin being Mr. Universal franchise guy with Riddick and Fast and Furious, even Triple X, and here he's being one man army. And that the movie itself is interesting because Christian Dudegas, who later worked on a bunch of Gerard Butler movies, like, you know, Den of Thieves, you know, because is now a kind of a go-to action crime writer guy. And Paul T. Schwering is a big guy who goes on to create Prison Break. And so it's just like, this is like a who's who of crime movies. And then you look at even the rest of the supporting cast in that is like, Jesus, who wasn't in this movie? All these guys from like Scarface type movies, Jacqueline Obradors from NYPD Blue, Lawrence Tate from Menace to Society, and Timothy Oliphant from, you know, years before Justified,
and yeah,
a year before Deadwood, Emilio Rivera years before Sons of Anarchy. It's just like, Jesus, who is not in this movie?
You kind of put that with the Italian Job as well.
Yeah, and they both were kind of just sharing that extra money. It's like everyone else was going to Pirates of the Caribbean, Matrix, and Bad Boys 2, and the Euro Free. and this was just kind of just the leftovers along with Tears of the Sun. And, you know, obviously it wasn't going to make Lord of the Rings money, but it was just interesting seeing just all... Euro Free is just a big, big, big year for giant spectacles and just nonstop throughout that year. And but I've come to embrace it. I just feel like it should have been marketed better. But yeah, Italian Job is one I see people shit on nowadays, which is just so weird because growing up, it seemed like it was an ideal just go-to heist movie with some funny moments. And my cousins were huge fans of it because they loved every other kind of heist comedy, whether it be Snatch or the Ocean's 11 movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Jason Statham was practically spoofing his transporter character, and yeah, Seth Green, and I think Ed Norton still makes a decent villain in it, even though he clearly doesn't want to be there, but was required by contract. And obviously, Charlize Theron and Marky Mark were just rising stars, and
and that's what he can actually act in a movie. Oh my God, some, but.
No. Yeah, and much like Ice Cube, there are movies where he just plays himself and you're like, oh, stop.
This one, not so much. He actually plays a character as opposed to later ones.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a step in the right direction. It's like, okay, I can be in a crowd pleaser and be kind of cool. And speaking of cool, I actually do not mind Be Cool, and that was definitely one of the first movies I saw The Rock in. And I went back, I know this is unpopular, then I went back like a year later and resaw. No, I didn't see. I just saw movies that everyone had talked about, like, again, Scorpion King and The Rundown and what have you. But that one was just weird because everyone was like, they saw him doing all these other comedies. I'm like, I knew he could do comedies with Vince Vaughn and Uma Thurman and John Travolta and Christina Milian in this. Yeah, I know he can do comedy. It's a sequel to Get Shorty, so of course it's going to be very off-color and over-the-top. And
This will be controversial to say. I actually kind of prefer Over Kid Shorty.
hot take. I prefer the TV show Get Shorty. And I've come to rewatch both and appreciate even them even more on rewatches because I didn't think either of them was really marketed all that well, really. But they've become more fun.
Yeah.
It has some cringeworthy moments that the Black Eyed Peas segment has not aged well. It's just stupid. It doesn't need to be in the movie. But I think this is where it was interesting, seeing F. Gary Gray kind of try and recreate some of that same kind of comedy that was just kind of off-kilter, kind of like with Friday with Ice Cube, which is so wild. That's a franchise he launched, not one that he stuck with.
Nope, just the first movie, that's it.
And
gone.
It's a rumor that he's like one of the guys at the podium in Coming to America, which I wouldn't doubt, but it's just weird in that he does do just uncanny like acting cameos just for the hell of it.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He's the guy at the clerk store at in Friday. And,
yeah. I remember now.
Totally. And so yeah, he kind of was just kind of out of play there just for about 6 years, just kind of doing other just in development hell. So I don't really, that's where I kind of lost track of him in between Law Abiding Citizen and Straight Outta Compton.
Which is funny, since Law Abiding Citizen is getting a sequel now.
Yeah, that one was just one of those, everyone was, it was kind of like The Purge and hell, I'll just say it. Snakes on a Plane. it was taking the internet by force with its bizarre premise, and the trailer was bigger than the movie itself. Like, it did okay, but it took me a while to actually come around to watching it. I can understand how it's another one. There's just so many cooks in the kitchen. Kurt Wimmer and wrote it. David Ayer did rewrites, and then just when you see it again, like you say, you told me the rule that Jamie Foxx can't die in his movies, and then, you know, Gerard Butler's character is just so much more interesting than anyone else because it's a weird, almost Dark Knight Punisher kind of wannabe.
That's why the ending is like the only thing that kind of hurts the movie for me, why I don't love it.
And
loving it for the ending.
The critics didn't know how to classify it. I saw some saying it's Die Hard with a Vengeance meets Saw. I wouldn't go that far. I saw some comparing it to Falling Down, which I definitely could get behind.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
Like, unstable man, you know, causing trouble. It's like, it just no one knew how to classify it. But it's its own kind of cult movie, if imperfect. But yeah, Straight Outta Compton, I was actually honored to actually see that in the theater. I was just like, wow, this is still pretty relevant. And this is before Black Lives Matter became even bigger and bigger. I became a fan of the Dr. Dre portrayer, Corey Hawkins, and, you know, Osea Jackson Jr. I thought did pretty good, even though it was a nepotism casting. And once again, this reunites him with Paul Giamatti, who we worked with on The Negotiator. But it is kind of wild how you start off with hood comedy, then you do those two, you know, heist movies, set it off, and then, you know, Cops versus Cops and Negotiator, and then back to, again, heist and vigilante movies and comedies. And then Straight Outta Compton was just this attempt. Is like, I could understand why some people were trying to say, why didn't it get some Oscar nods? Because it's like, it did have some interesting attention to detail. And I think one critique one person I knew said was, why didn't it talk about, you know, Dre's, you know, messy lifestyle? And I was like, well, I think you just answered your question. It just would have been too messy for a complete narrative.
Yeah, and that's one that I didn't see in the theater because I wasn't totally invested in that topic at the time, but I managed to watch it years later and appreciate it more now compared to when it came out.
Yeah, when it came out, it was just kind of then and there. And I actually had some other pals who were just like, who was doing the extras casting? They are not wearing 90s attire on closer inspection. I haven't seen the unrated extended cut. I'm sure it's got some interesting moments. So Fate of the Furious, is it the... it's an argument. Is it the most unwatchable of the... And being the eighth installment of Fast and Furious, or is it the best, meaning the so bad it's good? I can't decide. I really fucking hate this movie.
Well, let me correct myself. I've seen clips of it. That's about all I've wanted to see for Fate and Furious. So, there you go.
It's pretty fucking bad. And so I think now he's just back to the typical kind of music video route where he just tries to make everyone on set happy and make use of his giant formulas. But yeah, I did not remember anything about it other than just like, wow, people, ice and copters and expensive cars literally fighting on ice. Didn't they do that in the infamous James Bond movie, Die Another Day? Oh, yes, yeah. They did. So Men in Black International, it's a mixed bag. So, but once again, he's back in sequel franchise go-to guy now. And when it came out, I almost literally did not ever see it at all. You're telling me, don't bother with it. And I had no choice because it was a gift from a family member. So I was like, I guess I'll look at the Blu-ray DVD pack eventually.
And to be fair, I don't really blame him for that movie. I blame the studio for interfering.
It was so dumb. Why would you come out the same week as Endgame?
Yeah.
And I don't know why Marvel never took advantage of it, since they owned the rights to it technically, but they never endorsed it. It's like through Malibu Comics or what have you. But it was also just kind of in competition. Like, I think it's way better than Independence Day 2, just another sequel.
Yeah, I could say that.
Will Smith passed on. It's just like you said it before, the villain is too predictable in this movie.
Very predictable.
And I just think Tessa Thompson is just really charming, but I think they just lost out. They could have connected her, just said, hey, I'm... It's like they almost imply like she's Agent J's, you know, Will Smith's long-lost daughter or some shit, but they never went there. It's like they could have gone there.
Very lazy screenwriting to call it.
Yeah, let me look up who the screenwriters were on that, because basically he was inspired to just have outrageous aliens and just have the back and forth stuff. I dug the CGI for once, unlike most.
Some I didn't mind, some not so much. It
depends. The rap music in the club is pretty shitty, and the trailer was awful because it's like you're just playing outdated Black Eyed Peas music, not really talking about what the movie's about.
Yeah.
So again, the writers involved with this are very hit and miss. Like, they worked on all kinds of movies, from set production designers to other stuff, and I'm just very mixed on their resume. That includes Transformers The Last Knight, Punisher Warzone, the first Iron Man, Uncharted, and yeah, that's about it. They're a screenwriting duo.
Like, the rest of them not so much. But yeah, Like, I can defend Punisher Warzone, not so much Men in Black or Transformers.
So now he's just done again a Pepsi ad that basically aired, you know, during the Super Bowl halftime show that recently had Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and Dr. Dre. So he always had the Dr. Dre playing card. He was always working with him.
And now he has two films.
Four films.
Yeah, but I know two that he was filming. One that's for Netflix that has Kevin Hart, Vincent D'Onofrio, Sam Worthington.
Oh, yeah. It looks like Ocean's 11 on crack. A female master spy and her ex-boyfriend. Okay. Still $100 million in... on top of a flight. Jeez, yeah. That's crazy.
You got Jean Reno in it, which, okay.
We're going to see it instantly, but this is so weird.
It's interesting casting, I can say that.
Muscle.
And Muscle, the Vin Diesel movie.
Mm.
They're like, oh, we're keeping the plot under wraps. I'm like...
Yeah, plot. What plot? It's a Vin Diesel movie.
He's going to act like a robot every time?
I don't know. So, MASS, Mobile Armored Strike Command.
This one I never heard about.
This is one. It's a G.I. Joe spinoff. Uh-huh. I was figuring it's either that or Transformers.
We probably have a shared universe with Snake Eyes 2021.
I'll trust that since that stars Sweets from Bones. He was also a writer on Horrible Bosses, so hopefully that's a fun movie. Can't be worse than Snake Eyes, but like you say.
Yeah.
And yes, attached to a video game adaptation of Saints Row. And I don't know, that both suits him, and it could also be probably garbage, like many video game movies, so I don't know.
Well, it depends on the execution, that's what I always say.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on him as a video... music video guy, because I really have only seen It Was a Good Day and Murder Was the Case.
It Was a Good Day is like the only video I've seen that he directed, to be fair.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything of these others with Outkast and Latifah or even TLC, so sorry guys.
My bad, Miss Jackson. I have seen the video for that.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, I'm for real.
It was music videos, the rest of them I haven't. I see a little bit of the TLC Waterfalls. That's about it.
Okay, I take it back. I definitely have seen that in like a music doc years ago, but yeah.
That's about it.
He directed a short-lived show, Ryan Caulfield, which was a crime show that didn't last all that long on either NBC or Fox. I really only know about it because Mary McDonnell and Sean from Psych were on it for a few episodes. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's done La Fiesta for Will Smith, which is one of his worst rated music videos, so there you go.
I've never heard of that, so there you go.
Ugh. Either way, he's an easygoing crowd pleaser, but at the same time, he's like, there are some duds on here where he's like, yeah, no thanks.
I mean, he's not one of the directors that I always go to, but he has made like consistent crawl pleases. Took The Negotiator, as I've said, is my favorite of his out of all of them. And that's one.
Also, why does every other music video have a 2 out of 10 star rating? Jesus, that many people hate Will Smith. Shit. Damn. When I posted our episode, I noticed his Twitter was down. So it was like, I guess he pissed off that many people. Oh.
I mean, it's his fault, that's all I'll say.
Man.
I like your Will Smith, but that was a mistake. Anyway, we won't get into that.
Where's to go? Oh, man.
So many jokes about that. It's kind of pointless.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean... You can always be one of F. Gary Gray's movies. I am surprised that with the amount of comedies that F. Gary Gray didn't come back and even work with Sam Jackson, Latifah, or even, I don't know, just anyone else he's worked with. He had Paul Giamatti in both Negotiator and Compton, but I could totally see him working with Corey Hawkins again, maybe O'Shea Jackson, but hey, overall, I almost really wish he had been attached to just some other kind of silly buddy franchise like Bad Boys or Rush Hour and seen if he had been more inspired with one of those.
It would have at least been interesting to say that.
Other solo credits he's done a show that only lasted one episode called Enemies, so I guess it was a show that didn't get picked up that had Jeffrey Donovan and Bruce McGill. It's very highly rated, apparently. But yeah, he did a music video also for Cypress Hill, and I am just also surprised, because if you've seen the deleted scenes for Be Cool, like there's so many outrageous cameos and everything that you're almost like, that could have been its own sitcom. That could have been its even a secondary movie. You could have added the deleted scenes together. But yeah, I think he's a corporate guy now, like many, and he can now pick his projects. And at the same time, he's going to go where he's actually wants to be. And if it's not just a fun over-the-top movie, he's not going to be a part of it, really. He apparently was also an extra in Major League, but, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But I just wonder if there's more we could find out about him, because they're, other than his interviews, I don't really know much about the dude.
Oh, not really.
Other than Waterfalls getting attention and him being a fan of Godfather 2 and On the Waterfront. To quote him, he says, "I don't have a typical filmmaker background. I didn't grow up with a Super 8 camera or a video camera. I didn't start cutting movies when I was 4 or 5. I actually didn't really start to get into the research of film until I was much older. I decided I wanted to direct a lot earlier than I started to do the research, which is really strange, but it is the case."
Interesting.
He also talks about how he had to... he learned pretty much from Set It Off on how to direct actors.
I figured that. Particularly at the Friday, which is more of a comedy, so you don't really have to direct them too much.
So I feel like he's evolved. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think so.
He's still come a long way from being, again, you know, doing eye-catching commercials and what have you, and deciding that's how he wants to establish his brand instead of just someone else who's just like, oh, I don't care, or I have an ego and my junk food is the best junk food. Oh
yeah, seen those type of directors.
Yeah, he's fortunately not Brett Ratner, but I have not seen anything, any crazy interviews with him. I haven't seen any thing where he just seems like a dick. He seems pretty nice, really.
He's not had too many actors, you know, criticize him for his work. They've all seemed to get along with him pretty well.
Yeah. He's apparently friends with Nia Long, so she apparently likes working with him. I just don't know if he needs a better agent or something. He's just kind of come and gone here and there for when they want. I don't know if he has a more expensive fee now to do certain things, because he definitely has some eye-catching visuals that don't feel as, say, robotic, for lack of a better word. There's so many other music video guys we've seen where we're just like, oh, that is just an annoying style altogether. You're not movie material.
And some managed to work, I've said, with Bay and Tony Scott, but that's one of the few. Well, Tony's more of a commercial director still.
Yeah. And Tony Fuqua did music videos, and he's definitely more emotional and gotten some great acting from everyone, because he likes to hint at where they should go. And I guess Gary stays in his lane while also kind of just talking to them respectfully and just worrying about what scenes are needed. I will give him this. Playing safe has probably been his best strategy.
Yeah.
There's so many other people who take risks that really do not pay off. They really just invite more criticism and internet trolling. And he's just kind of been like, I'm taking out the trash. You can come with me or you don't have to, but get out of my way. I'm going to. He's the kind of guy who orchestrates a wedding but wants to do it himself. He does not want anyone's help. I did see one of the funny quotes where he had to actually study film later on when he got famous, where he was like, wow, I did not know about all these names. So it does show that you can be your own kind of inspired person and not grow up, you know, alone at home watching endless hours of movies and TV.
Yeah, I give him credit there.
He fortunately hasn't done too many comedies, which are just like college or pot smoking base. He hasn't done anything that really I would even say is just a so bad it's good kind of movie, really. Just does simple genre fare. What's going to get a butt into a seat? He is that, like, maybe the 10th or 6th person called for that kind of movie if all the other famous people aren't there. I'm glad he hasn't done something like, say, The Hangover 4, but at the same time, I wouldn't count him past him to probably do something like that, or even an ad for a Office or Brooklyn Nine-Nine type show. So I don't know. Basically, if there's lots of energy needed, he is that guy who they call. If they want a blacker urban audience, they call him.
They might do like a Brooklyn Nine-Nine show with him. But you never know.
Yeah. Who's keeping track?
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.